Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in, look.
Yes, sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. Hike all the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. Tonight, as you know, is a special topic. We are going to be discussing the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. And the one thing that I know is on the minds of everyone, not just in the state of New York, but all over the country, and even all over the world, the election for the President of the United States. Tonight, I'm going to be joined with people calling in from all over the country, some senators, some councilwomen, and just people in the community at large. But right now, I want to report some of the most recent projections. It's my understanding that President Obama has won the state of Massachusetts. He has also won the state of Vermont and Maryland. We also want to report that Mitt Romney, he has won Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, and South Carolina. So we'll be giving you the updates as we proceed with the evening. I'm going to be joined with a listener, a supporter, and a guest panelist, someone who's joined the Bree Life Radio family over the last couple of weeks, is my good friend Alvin. How are you tonight, Alvin? Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, my sister. I'm good, but I'm biting my nails. I'm chomping at the bit. Because tonight is such a is one of those nights. It's not like these ordinary nights. Peace and blessings,
well,
my sister. Peace and blessings.
Why do you feel you're chomping at the bit?
Because I'm just I'm watching this campaign. You know, I got to be honest. I'm not liking a lot of the stuff I'm seeing. But you know, I know it's still early. But still, you know, it's just that side of me that's. I'm just watching what's going on, you know, and the nail biting stuff is the, you know, I guess that's where I know that the tricks that could be played, but I'm going to stay on the positive side. But as always, my sister, it's good to hear from you, and, you know, your voice always soothes the savage beast, that's me, so, you know,
well,
I hope we can go forward and, you know.
I don't know about the savage beast, Alvin, because there are a lot of savage beasts, in the world, but I'm glad.
I'm speaking for what it does for me, because your show is therapy for me. I need it. I'm a willing admitted that I need it, and it's, you know, I can barely wait until these days come for it. So, you know, it's good.
Well,
but
I'm glad. that you enjoy hearing my voice. And obviously, speaking of my voice, I'm glad to know that there are listeners that really enjoy the Bree Life Radio Show, because today I received an anonymous donation of $100.
Wow.
And I just want to thank, hey, you know what? I asked for $1 and someone gave me $100. So,
I got to give $100 too then. You can't, you know.
Wait a minute.
I got to give $100 too then.
Are you going to match dollar for dollar for the Bree Life Radio Show?
I got to match dollar for dollar. That's not fair. What is that? Oh, they just trying to make us all look bad. No, I got to know. I'm going to have $100 too. I'm matching it.
Oh, wow.
And if I can hit the number, I'll match more than that. But that's not,
airwaves. Well,
somebody's trying to make us look terrible.
Well, you heard it, listeners, for yourself. I have received a $100 donation today anonymously, and Mr. Alvin feels so generous, and he believes so much in the Bree Life Radio project. He's going to match it. So, Alvin, from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of all the listeners and supporters of Bree Life Radio, I want to personally thank you for your donation.
But I'm going to make it 101 because I want to top whoever that was that did that. They ain't getting away with that.
Wow.
I got to push it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If I got an extra $5, I'll make it 105, 107, just so I can know that, listen, I gave a little more to you because they can't get away with that.
Wow. Well, here's what we're going to do right now. We also have another guest co-host calling in. This is Dwan from New Jersey, and I want to bring him on because I'd be glad to know what is going on in New Jersey with the aftermath of the storm. Peace and blessings, Dwan. How are you tonight?
Hey, peace and blessings. I'm doing all right tonight.
Oh, peace and blessings.
Hey, how you doing, Alvin? What's going on?
All right, hanging in there.
All right. So what's going on tonight?
Well, tonight we're talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. And, of course, we're discussing, well, here's a breaking news. It would seem that Romney is expected to win Virginia. So
yeah, I'm looking at, I'm seeing he's actually expected to win a few states from what I gather on CNN.
You know, we have to all play fair in the sandbox, so it's okay if he wins a few. But
they should still be ashamed out there. Where's your shame? You should be ashamed out there. And I'm not talking about the ones that voted for Obama. I'm talking about the ones that ain't got no sense. I'm sorry. I'm a little more emotional tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you've heard it live on the Bree Life Radio Show. Alvin is quite dismayed with any voter, it would seem, that would support Romney.
I agree, and I'm not trying to be biased or anything like that. But I do agree with Alvin. You know, out of all information that's been brought to the table concerning, you know, Governor Mitt Romney, you know, I would say an emotional decision for people to make as far as who needs to be president of these states for the next 4 years at least. You know, it's completely obvious. Like I said, you know, in the early show, if Governor Romney was qualified to run these states, then, you know, so be it. You know, he's qualified. There's nothing that you can say against, you know, that you can put against hard work. But when you have somebody that actually cares about this country, you know, and that really makes this country a home and not just a political game, you know, that's the perfect fit for a leader, you know, a person that has a heart for the people. And so, you know, I agree with Alvin.
It's so heartbreaking that, you know, that if, it's just hard to be biased because if there was a video circulating of, let's say, of the president, and he said something, and he was telling the truth, telling what he felt, and he was in a room full of people with billions of dollars like himself, it would be the most circulated video on YouTube. It would be all over the place. It'd be on national TV, and people would say, "What? He said that?" It would be a difference. But because it's our money, I mean Mitt Romney, it seems okay. We have, I don't know what happened. Like, you know, come on, can he really get away with this? It's acceptable.
Well, to speak to information about tonight, I'm going to share with our listeners some facts that have come out about both candidates over the election. Over the campaigning period of time. One fact that has been discussed several times during the campaign, and a lot of us need to remember, and that is Mitt Romney in 2011, I believe he wrote an article and published it in the New York Times. It was April, I think it was dated April 11, 2011, where he stated that we should allow Detroit to go bankrupt. And I know a lot of people who live in Detroit. As a matter of fact, I used to go to Detroit once a month to do what is called ballroom dancing, but it's not the actual classic ballroom dancing. It's Detroit style ballroom dancing, and I was going there back in 2008, 2009, and that state took, and Detroit itself took such a great hit with the auto industry, where you can tell how a community was impacted, because most of the people that live in Detroit and in the suburban neighborhoods surrounding Detroit, most of them work for those auto companies, and people were losing their homes. And my friend George, giving a shout out to George that I used to go and visit him and his family, they lived in a section of a Detroit suburb called, I believe it was called Rosedale. And it was a very beautiful neighborhood where they had old Victorian and Cape Cod and English Tudor homes. And I would say in a city block, it was about half of the block was abandoned. In that neighborhood, every block that you drove through, at least 25 to 40% of the houses were either abandoned, boarded up for sale, because people lost their jobs. How could you tell an industry that is responsible for carrying an enormous weight of economic power in our country to allow itself to go bankrupt? Because this man, if you know anything about Mitt Romney and his company Bain, all they do the main focus of the main function of their company is capitalism and to buy companies, allow it to allow for the people to lose their jobs, sell the company, sell stocks of the company off to. And, you know, this he's looking at our government as a business, and you can't really look at it as a business.
No, no, not at all.
No,
not at all.
He wants to privatize he wants to privatize some major departments in the government. For instance, another fact, another statement that he made along the route to the White House, so to speak, he also stated that he wanted to either privatize or just totally dismantle FEMA. Now, I hope that all Republicans, whether they were on the fence, not knowing who they were going to vote for, or they are staunch conservatives, they should have, especially if they live in our New York City, our New York metro area, meaning Connecticut, New York State, and New Jersey, and the people who lived in those low-lying areas that were by the water, that were devastated. FEMA is the first defense in a catastrophic situation, you know, in storms, hurricanes. You know, this is what they do. Now, wonder if we had no Department of FEMA. Can you imagine? Could you imagine how difficult it would have been for people in Jersey, which I know, Juan, you could speak to that because, you know, just your local news, we don't get a lot. I mean, we get a lot of New Jersey news, but locally we don't see the on-the-ground, day-to-day reports that come in on an hourly basis. Can you just share with us what's going on in New Jersey right now, you know, to the best of your knowledge, with regards to housing and the homelessness now that people are dealing with, the gas situation? Please share with us.
Well, yeah, New Jersey has been hit pretty hard, especially in the Atlantic City area. I believe it's pretty much destroyed. They have to really invest some money into rebuilding that city again. But it's been pretty rough, you know. Even speaking on a personal note, I actually had to sleep in a hotel for a couple of nights, you know, and it took us a whole day to find a hotel that was actually, or rooms rather, that was actually vacant, you know. Pretty much everyone that was without power, and it was roughly about 2 million people within the state of New Jersey that was without power. And, you know, they pretty much checked into a hotel, so it took us some time to actually get one. I've seen hotels that didn't even have power that ran off of a generator that was completely sold out. I mean, I don't know why people would go to a place where, you know, it's in the same condition as your personal space, but I mean, it was a lot of damage done. It was a lot of damage done. But I will say something about FEMA. I work for St. Peter's Hospital in New Brunswick, and when we had loss of water, when we had the electrical problem, I mean, the lights were out for at least a day and a half. I mean, there were so many things that were destroyed inside the hospital, but the number one fund that came in and helped out immediately was FEMA. Got the lights back on, made sure everything was working, and donated donated a lot of money towards food for everyone that actually worked for that hospital, you know. So I mean, you know, it was, in spite of all the craziness that went on up here, especially more so central to northern New Jersey, you know, FEMA really helped out a lot. So I would say that. But it's been pretty rough. It was pretty rough last week. Lights came on, I think, maybe 3 or 4 days after. And, you know, things is really starting to run like normal now. But it did hit pretty good, pretty bad, rather.
Well, I want to just say, you know, we're so very happy that you're returning to some state, you and your family are returning to some state of normalcy. But we also have to think about those who are not. I just left Manhattan, and I was with a few friends of mine, and one lives in East Orange, New Jersey. The other one lives in Newark. The other one lives in Hoboken. And two out of the three of them still do not have electricity. Inland towns, they still don't have electricity. So could you imagine what's going on at the shores where there's complete devastation? I mean, I have to tell you, there have been a couple of times looking at the results of the storm, I had to do all I can to hold back the tears, and all I could do is put my head down and just ask God to, you know, help those people. You can't help but feel badly for them, and you feel helpless. And then I have to tell you, I had a really hard day. These last 2 days have been very difficult here. One of the things that you didn't mention, Juan, was
the trouble
about the gas situation. But before we talk about, I just want to give our listeners an update of the results. Obama is winning by 64 electoral votes, and Romney currently has 40. So those are the latest numbers.
He should have 3. He should have 0. Where is your sense of pride? Romney doesn't love. I'm sorry, Sister Bree, baby. I love you. I usually don't. But he don't love this country. He's anti-American. You want to ship these jobs overseas. You wanna cut this and cut that. You got a big scissors out because I'm a billionaire and I could do that. If I hit the Mega Millions, I could be a billionaire too. But when I want to just destroy the people, you don't care about this country. It's all business to you. You already mapped out my side of the hood. You got me added up already. You counted me up like I'm just a number. Sorry, sucker.
Well, yeah, you're part of the 47%.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know that?
47%. And then, you know, I play the numbers. Don't destroy the number because 47, I could make money off that. We don't want you. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just an emotional night. It's just an emotional night.
We can tell. So, I digress. Welcome. So, Juan, we were talking about, before I gave the updated numbers, about the gas situation. Before I share my own personal experience, do you want to tell us about what's going on with the gas situation? Because I have a cousin, and I want to give her a shout-out, my cousin Sherry that lives in Newark. I want to I'll tell you about her situation that happened while we were on the phone last night when she was coming from school. So, but if you could just tell us, what have you noticed has been going on with the gas situation? What have you experienced personally yourself?
First of all, let me tell you, it takes about $90 to fill up my tank. The gas line.
Ooh, do you have?
All in.
Well, I drive a E5, and so you know that's an 8-cylinder. You know that's an 8-cylinder car.
Oh. Okay. And I would imagine you put super in there.
Yeah, super or premium.
So, wrong with us riding good?
I'm sorry?
No, I said there's nothing wrong with us riding. We supposed to ride good.
Not at all. Not at all. We supposed to live blessed.
Nah, we supposed to ride good. You supposed to put $120 in there. We supposed to ride good. We deserve it. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Okay, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
but the lines, it actually took me between trying to get to work, trying to get around the, first of all, it took me for those few days. It took me about an hour to get to work versus 25 minutes that it usually takes me because I had to take a bunch of back roads because there were a lot of main streets that were down due to the lights, due to the trees. Coming down, I mean, you know, literally like in the middle of the street, blocking the main streets, you know. So between trying to get to the hotel, which is a little farther from the house, to the lines at every gas station that had lights and electricity, it took me about 3 days to get gas. And then when I actually got it, the gas station that I went to, they didn't give no more than $30 a car. $30 worth of gas to a car. So I had to wait. First of all, my tank was on E. And so I put I didn't even put $30 in. I put $15 in because my brother was with me, and he had a gas tank. He needed to gas his car as well. So, and, you know, keep in mind, they don't give no more than $30 a car. So I had to wait 3 days. It takes $90 to fill up my tank. And I waited 3 days just to get just under a quarter worth of gas. Yeah, so it's been pretty rough with gas, and it's so many gas stations that are still down. It still doesn't have any electricity. You know, no lights, the pumps don't work, and I mean, it's really a struggle for people trying to get to work now. Some people actually called in. This lady was telling me that she actually had to call in one day because she didn't have enough gas to get to work, you know. So, you know, the gas thing really affected, a good amount of people. And it's still going on as we speak. So,
you're absolutely right. Last night, my cousin Sherry, she goes to Rutgers University. And she was on her way home last night. So she said, I'm going to stop for gas. And when she pulled into the gas station, the gas was $4.99. I said, Sherry, you're not going to buy that gas, are you? She said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm on foot E. She had to buy the gas. But that is against the law. Because I told her, I said, she really needs to get in contact with the state attorney general and the governor's office and let them know that this gas station is charging about 40% more on what the average price of gas is in New Jersey right now.
Yeah. And those stations,
it's hard to do that when they corrupt it like that. They've probably been corrupted, so they'll just feel they could do whatever. That's disgusting knowing that you're trying to feed off a tragedy. They know what they're doing.
You're absolutely right. I'll tell you my gas fiasco. Well, yesterday, oh, boy, this is, you know what? I think what we're going to do before I start talking about my gas fiasco, we're going to take a commercial break, and when I come back, we'll continue our discussion on gas, and I'll give our listeners the most updated stats for Vote 2012. We'll be right back.
Green Life Radio is a grassroots radio show offering a voice to everyday people. It is without a doubt that this service is a pleasure for we at Green Life to provide. However, this service comes at a cost. For us to continue to provide this valuable outlet to the community, we need your support. Join us as we raise funds to keep Green Life Radio streaming while we provide assistance to Public School 161 in Brooklyn, New York. 15% of all funds raised will go towards providing school supplies to the students of this necessary and vital educational institution. You can find more information about our fundraiser on the web at brilife.evenbright.com. That's brilife.evenbright.com.
And we're back. This is the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree. And I'm being joined tonight with my two guest hosts, Alvin and Dwan. Thank you for joining me tonight, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. Our show tonight, we're talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, in addition to the updated election results. So when we left off, we were talking about the gas situation, both in New Jersey and here in Brooklyn, New York. I was about to tell my story. Well, of course, the storm caught me off guard, like so many other people, and especially here in Brooklyn. Oh, before I move forward, New Jersey's projected winner is Barack Obama.
All right.
So I know, Dwan, that should make you happy.
Make me a little happy. I'm a little happy. Thank you. Shame on you, red states.
So right now it's Obama 59, Romney 40.
Oh, I'm loving it.
In terms of popular votes, Obama 682,320 and Romney 470,394.
Good.
Okay. So, as I was stating, when I got completely caught off guard and my tank was just about empty when the storm took place, I thought, okay, after the wind and the rain, I'm going to be able to go out and get gas like any other day. And I was so wrong. What happened was yesterday for the first time I physically went to a gas station on the recommendation of a friend, one of my Facebook friends, and he recommended that I go to a Sunoco gas station on Flatlands in Remsen. On Rockaway in Remsen. And when I got there, there was no more gas. So I went to the Getty on Flatlands and Rockaway. And, of course, there was a six-block line for cars. And the people who were the breaking news, Tennessee is the projected winner for Mitt Romney. Romney is the projected winner for Tennessee. Okay.
That's why the Titans are losing their season.
Right. Well, when I got to the gas station, there were about 25 people that were outside with gasoline containers and other types of receptacles to hold the gas. I, of course, one of those people with a special kind of receptacle, not one that said gasoline. I had an empty Era bottle that my mother gave me before I left. So, after being on the line for about half an hour, the station owner came to the people that were standing online and said, "You will not be able, if you do not have a container that says gasoline, we cannot allow you to put gas into it. It will be a $5,000 fine per individual for the gas station owner." I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So there was a gentleman that was standing, well, I'm stretching the title of gentleman that was standing in front of me. And he had two-gallon empty containers that said gasoline. And there was a gentleman that was behind me. As a matter of fact, I want to give a big up to Fillmore Real Estate in Canarsie at 9301 Flatlands Avenue. The broker by the name of Mark Kerr, he is my new Bree Life Radio brother at arms because he came to my rescue. Him and another gentleman, which I'm about to talk about. Mark was standing in back of me. So I asked the gentleman in front of me with the two containers because what we heard was, at first what we heard was that you were only going to be able to fill up with $20. You could not fill up any container more and spend more than $20. They were only rationing it out that much. Then what we heard was, regardless of how many gallons your container is, you're only allowed to fill up one container. So I asked the gentleman standing in front of me, I said, well, since we are only allowed to fill up one container, my truck is right over here. Would you mind if I borrowed your receptacle so that I could get some gas because I am on E? I'm not going to even make it home. So at first he said, okay. Then 5 minutes later, he turned around because he had a conversation with somebody, and then he told me no. He told me no, yes. When he said no, Mark Kerr, who was standing in back of me with a Poland Spring, is that like a 10-gallon bottle, you know, the bottle that you have the water dispense. I don't know how many gallons that thing is, but that was one of the receptacles that they told us that we would not be able to use. And he had a singular 1-gallon red gasoline container. He said, well, look, don't worry about it. If I'll get in front of you, I'll go up to the pump first, I'll get the gas, I'll go to the side, pour it in my Poland Spring water bottle, and I'll bring the container to you, and at least you can get a gallon of gas so you can get back home or to at least get to another gas station so you can get online or something. So I was like, you know what? Thank you so much. And then I said to the line of people who were standing there, I said, announcement. This is Bree from Bree Life Radio. I want you to look at this brother right here. Take a picture of him because he's a real man.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. You know, I just want to say.
Wait, I'm not finished.
I just want to say.
You're going to have a whole lot to.
No, but I just got to say this. That when that happened for you, Sister Bree, it goes to show you all the manna from heaven don't got to go on your stomach. It can go towards your troubles and whatever happens. That happened, and you see how that happened? People should learn from that. Even though they haven't, because they're selfish, but learn from that. Oh, my goodness. And I don't got a car, so I'm not flossing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. You see?
Okay. Well, the second part of the story is that when I made that announcement to the line of men that I was on the line with, because out of 50 people that were online, there were two women, myself and another woman. So there, and all of these men had 3 and 4 gas receptacles, gasoline receptacles. It's unbelievable. So then the man standing in back of Mark says, "Miss, you need a gasoline container." I said, "Yes," because they won't let me use this air bottle, this detergent bottle. He said, "Don't worry. Let me call my wife. She's in the car. And I'll have her bring over a 2-gallon or a 1-gallon. I think I have maybe a 1-gallon container in the car." So I said, announcement. You see this gentleman standing here? Take a picture of him. He's a dying breed. He's a real man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. They was looking. They were laughing. They thought it was funny, but it's not funny. It is, you know, I was riding the train, which today I don't normally ride the subway because I'm claustrophobic. I don't like being underground. So I limit my subway riding to a minimal. Today, a man offered me a seat on a train. I almost had a nervous breakdown. I got weak at the knees, and I know it sounds funny, but I was in shock.
That is rare. Oh, you're blessed.
I'm not losing faith in humanity, but I am losing a lot of faith in men. I really am. I mean, the things that I hit, the very selfish things that I've seen some men do just in these last 5 years, it's unbelievable. It is so unbelievable. And I'm not saying women are wonderful also, because I know there are a lot of women that are trifling and do some things that are not really called for. We're none of us are perfect, but I'm just saying this is a time where we're all supposed to band around and help each other. A part of my announcement on that line was that whatever happened to I'm my brother's keeper, today is Monday. I said, I bet you 75% of you went to church yesterday and call yourself Christians. I said, you are none of you are your brother's keeper. Not one of you standing on the line except for these two men here. What say you, Duan, on that?
Well, what do I say about that? there's still some good brothers out there. I understand your pain. I really do. But I believe that there's still some good brothers out there. You know, I think you have two of them on the line with you right now. You know, so I wouldn't lose hope with the, you know, the fools that you have, you know, you've encountered in the last, last 5 or 10 years. You know, there's still some good guys out there. I wouldn't lose hope. I would not lose hope.
I'm just telling you, I have really, really, I mean, I'm very disappointed. I put, you know, today I went out, and after I voted, of course, me and my mother, we went to vote, and I said, okay, since I have this gallon of gas in the tank, maybe I should try to go to the nearest gas station and try to get some gas. Well, before I could get several blocks away from the polling, the school where I took the where I voted, my car cuts off on me because I don't have no more gas. Now, you know what happened overnight? Which is another thing that I want to bring to my listeners' attention. You all must go out to AutoZone, Pep Boys, wherever you can, whatever auto parts place that you can go to, and get a gas cap with a key. Because what I believe that has happened, and other people in my neighborhood have been also complaining about, is that they come outside and either all of their gas is gone, or a quarter tank or a half a tank of gas when they knew that they left the gas gauge at a certain level, they're missing gas when they come outside.
People's cars left and right, you know, especially in times like these, you know, people running into other people's houses. I mean, it's getting crazy. I would strongly advise everybody, you know, whether you got a you know, no matter what kind of car you have, you know, make sure you get a gas cap with the key on it, because it's definitely worth the investment. I mean, you know, when times like this happen, you know, come about, people tend to act up. So I would strongly advise that.
You know, I understand. They need to go and Mitt Romney's gas tank. If they voting for him, go in his gas tank and take his gas. Stop taking poor people's gas. Take his gas. He got a lot. He can afford it. Take
oh,
his.
My goodness.
Stop
you
going in. Stop going in. Stop going in. I'm just emotional tonight because I don't like what I'm seeing. And I guess it's those red states that's affecting me. It's a shame. Take Mitt Romney gas, since he's giving your gas away overseas.
Here's the latest report. Barack Obama has 78 electoral votes, and Romney has 76.
All right.
It's not over yet. It's not over.
But Sister Bree, it's just
we cannot be surprised because all of the polls, all of the reports have stated that for the last couple of months, Romney has improved his rating amongst certain groups of people, which is the next point that I'd like to discuss. First of all, the one point that I want to make, and we'll come back to the gas situation. One point that I want to make is that Barack Obama won the state of Massachusetts. Now, that tells you a lot because Mitt Romney was the governor of Massachusetts. Believed in a lot of his policies and his governing, they would not have voted so highly for Barack Obama. What say you on that, Duane?
It tells a lot, and even going back to what our vice president said during his debate with Paul Ryan, facts matters. You know, we can't really, you know, when we walk by making decisions based off of our emotions, you know, that's when we get in trouble. We need to look at the facts. You know, it tells a whole lot when his home state, Mitt Romney, is not supporting him like they should, you know, especially when he was governor over the state, you know. So I think it tells a lot, you know, among the many things that is wrong with how Mitt Romney is leading or trying to lead his influence on the American people.
Yeah. Well, let's also talk. Another update I'd like to give is the congressional balance of power. In the House of Representatives, there's a total of 435 seats. In the United States Senate, there are 100 seats. Right now, there are, for the Democrats, there are 7 seats that have gone to the Democrats and 16 have gone to the Republicans in the House of Representatives. And in the state Senate races, there are 34 seats that have gone to the Democrats and 38 that have gone to the Republicans. Two seats are independents. There are 412 seats left that have not been tabulated in the House of Representatives and 26 seats in the Senate that have not come back with results. So we'll also be watching that because I'll put into the atmosphere when our current president is reelected. This is going to make a difference. And that's something that we'll be talking about tomorrow on our show. What happened? Where are all our black leaders and organizations? These are some of the questions that I'll be asking several congressmen, senators, councilmen and women, and local and national, national leaders of African American descent. But back to what we were talking about with reference to, it's clear that Massachusetts does not have a fondness for Mitt Romney. And it's so unusual that it would be reflective in the last 4-year period when he was governor.
Yeah. Because he showed them that he didn't give a damn about them when he was governor.
No,
he showed them who he was. They weren't blind, and they was like, we're not voting for you. I like you, Massachusetts, because you woke up. The red states, where's your shame? It's disgusting. It should not be this close. I shouldn't have to watch Fox or any of these other things that's going on to know that you should be applying your common sense. What is going on here?
Yeah.
Well, the newest numbers, I believe the newest numbers came out. It's Barack Obama, 78, and Mitt Romney, 82. Oh. And right now he's being the projected winner. Romney is being the projected winner for Mississippi.
Mm.
What we also have to understand about the South is that a lot of those states are very religious. And they still clearly are very Republican too.
Mm.
And we can't forget that. So that like states like Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky, and Arkansas. I mean, Oklahoma. Well, even though Oklahoma is considered a Midwestern state, also very religious states, and states that are heavily religious, it would seem that the statistics from the last election shows that it swung towards the Republicans. Another point that I wanted to bring out about Mitt Romney is that it appears clearly that he does not have a mass appeal with women of any ethnicity and young people.
Mm. You could build my car. You could build the cars for us, but I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Well, it would seem that there was a report that Mitt Romney had the opportunity to go on The View, and he avoided doing that. He said that he didn't feel comfortable going on The View. He felt that they were very biased toward Barack Obama.
Oh, they could just read me for what I was. Mm.
That can be the reason as well. Yeah, it could be the reason as well.
That's a shame. Mm. That's why I keep saying them red states need to really, you know, I mean, you made your vote. I know you did what you had to do because you felt the way you felt, but feeling ain't got nothing to do with my ears. Because I'm sorry, I heard everything this man said ever since. And they could talk about the first debate. As far as I'm concerned, the first debate was Obama letting him, you know, tell you exactly who he was, and he did that. So I can't just look at Obama and say, oh, well, he lost. No, he ain't lose that because he let this man open his mouth and he ran with it. Come on.
Well, here's what I'll say about that. strategically, you know, from a person who plays chess, you watch the moves of your opponent very carefully, and you allow mm-hmm. them to show themselves early on in the mm-hmm. game. That's one strategy to playing chess. You also, another strategy is that, you know, you can also be quite aggressive and win a mm-hmm. game in four moves. So, but that's not Barack Obama's style. Also,
right.
I'm not making excuses for him, because I do feel that he did not show up. He didn't give us his best. And then also, you have to understand, this man was, it was his anniversary. It was his 20th wedding anniversary that evening. I'm sure that there was someplace else he would have preferred to be other than sitting on a debate
for real.
With Mitt Romney. He didn't show up. But in any case, it was his job to show up, and he did not give his best performance. You know, knowing that, and it's not just a constructive criticism. It's not just an observation. It's also a constructive criticism. He could have done better. That's an unarguable fact that he could have done better.
How much better can you?
What do you
do
say
than
about
the truth?
That, Duarte?
I mean, when I seen the first debate, you know, I believe in Barack Obama. I mean, you know, to the core, you know, I believe that he's a clean player. You know, he's not trying to win this thing. You know, trying to beat people down and bash at people's faults. I don't think that's his style. I think the first debate, I think he was trying to be. He was trying to be nice. I think he came off as a little too nice. You know, he was trying to play it humble, you know, trying to, you know, give him open room to, you know, to say, you know, let's go ahead and play this thing, you know, play this thing out fairly. You know, when that didn't happen and, you know, folks started to question, you know, Barack's aggressiveness, then that's when I believe he turned up the heat because he felt like he had to do so. But, I mean, that's just the way I see it. You know, the first debate was really about, you know, let me see if we can do this thing, you know, like gentlemen, you know, like real men. And when he felt like, okay, you know, when he felt otherwise, I felt like he had to change his game plan up, especially when people was talking, you know. So, I mean, that's what I gathered from it. You know, he could have done a lot better, but I think he was coming from a perspective of trying to be nice. You know, I think, and that's what I hear from a lot of people, that he was trying to be nice, but he was a little too nice. You know, so he could have did better, but I believe he made it up in the other debates.
You know how I watched it? I just watched it as I'm gonna let the liar talk. And this is how I watched it. I'm not saying anybody. I watched it as, I'm going to let this. I didn't even look at Barack no more because I knew he was for real. I just looked at the fact that this dude would just say whatever. And he said what he felt from his heart. And he stood right there, blah, 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 blah. And he ran on and on and on. And I said, as many lies as this, I didn't have to watch him on this debate. You got on a tape talking about I'm the 47% that you're talking about. I'm broke. I ain't got no money. I ain't a billionaire. You got up there talking all of that, so why do I even need to see a debate to know who you are? You expose yourself. So that's why I keep saying shame on those red states. Shame on you. You got YouTube out there. You're not blind. You see it just like I see it. So I don't got to watch what Barack say to – I don't got to listen to the media because they're going to sway the way they sway. I know how they get down. But come on, yo. I'm watching. No way. But that's just me. I'm not speaking for a majority. It's just me as a person who got to say, I'm the one that got to pull the lever and make the ballot, and I got to do all of this. There's no way in hell I was going to make a mark for – I was not voting for Romney. It ain't got nothing to do with color. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing down the line. No way was I voting. Just his common sense. I'm sorry. All those Klansmen that voted for him, that's on you. I know how you do already. You told me, but come on, not me. You know?
Here's another fact. If I may interject, Alvin, here's another fact I want to bring to everyone's attention, and that is that regardless of what the outcome of the election for our next president is going to be, in the Democratic caucuses for the first time ever in history, that'll be meeting in January of 2013, white males will be in the minority. That's a clear indication of what our country is becoming now. It is becoming a country of brown people. And that is also going to play a role in, especially if it goes for Obama, he may be able to get some things accomplished in the next 4 years. It's going to be mainly it looks like, oh, okay, for Michigan, the projected winner is Barack Obama.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's not over yet. It's not over.
Certainly not. Not.
Yeah.
And that would make the Electoral College votes. Oh, of course, Barack Obama is the projected winner in New York.
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling that.
And as I was just about to say, well, as I said earlier about the southern states, Louisiana, the projected winner is Mitt Romney.
I'm not surprised.
And in Kansas, the projected winner is Mitt Romney. Nebraska is the Mitt Romney is the projected winner.
It must not be no unions out there.
Which goes to another point that I want to make. Thank you for bringing it up, and I want to give you the numbers before I do. Barack Obama currently has 123 electoral votes, and Mitt Romney has 153. South Dakota, Wyoming, all are going to Mitt Romney. Arkansas, Mitt Romney.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not over.
It's not over.
But it's a damn shame. That's why I said, dumb red states, where's your, you know, come on. The man told you what he's about, but I got to shake my head, and I ain't even typing it in. SMH whatever.
Okay.
All over there.
That I wanted to bring up also is something that Alvin just referenced, is that another thing Mitt Romney said that he wanted to eradicate was the union. He wanted to dismantle the unions. Now, Alvin, I know that you've been speaking quite passionately tonight, and I know this is a very passionate topic because you are a union member, but with a little less passion...
I'm going to try real hard with a little less passion. I'm going to try.
Right.
I'm going to try.
Just about the importance of being in a union and your feeling and maybe some of your fellow union members' feelings about Mitt Romney's intention, should he become the next president of the United States, to dismantle the National Brotherhood of unions, of laborers?
You know, the whole thing about the union is, you know, when the union, it's not just that. They stand up for, you know, it's a brotherhood. You stand up for each other. It's not just about throwing the laws in front of each other and trying to. You stand up for each other, and even when we're in the field together, but at the same time, when you want to dismantle the union, mean you want to dismantle rights. And you know that the union knows enough laws where it's, it, you know, right is right. We all want the fair wage. We want the wage, you know, you want your benefits. And but he wants to, it's like he wants to go to some caveman type business where I want to dismantle the union, not just because he knows that he wants to break the strength. It's the strength of the union. And what's terrible is he's not for the unions. He don't care what, his first thing up there, I heard him say out of his mouth, I want to get rid of the unions. I'm going to get rid of the, you know, he's like, the way I listen to, I said, wait a minute. You, and I'm sitting here listening to it as a, I'm like, wait a minute. You don't care. You're mad that I stand up for myself, my family, the fair wage, the benefits, and different stuff. You don't feel that we should have that, and he don't feel like we should have that. He thinks, I don't know what he really thinks, because he says so much stuff across the board. He just says anything. One day he's not like this, and one day he don't feel like that. But as a union man, I feel like that every day across the board. And I never saw somebody like this. And I can't even knock George Bush, because George Bush didn't stand up and say, I want to get rid of the unions. So I got to look at this guy like, wait a minute, come on.
Let us not talk about Bush tonight. let us not go back to the Bush.
But he's like a clone.
Nobody.
He's like a clone.
Mm-mm. Duane, are you a union member?
No, I'm not a union member. Never really experienced working inside, within a union. So I don't really have much to say about that. But you know what? There's a lot of things that are just completely twisted with this governor. And you know, as I stated before, you know, facts matters. Facts matters. There's so many things that have been exposed throughout the campaign and throughout the debates that will clearly let the American people know that, hey, listen, this guy is not the right man to lead us. You know, these are the United States. That means we come together as a nation, one nation, you know, and this guy, he wants to treat it, he wants to treat this like it's a business. You know, like it's
well,
a company.
Difficult to embrace that ideology, because this country is so divided right now.
It's been more about
race than anything.
It has,
and that's
it has,
been it.
It's so
and
sad.
That's what it is.
Because we'll
it's
never.
Not,
we'll,
it's not even politics, because when you look at them. When you look at Barack Obama and Mitt Romney side by side, there are many things that they agree on, even though they might orate them differently. There are several things that they agree on. But I got to tell you, this has been a campaign that has really torn the country apart. And the negative, people are complaining about the negative ads on both sides. I don't know, Duane, if you had an opportunity. I shared it on my Facebook page. I know that Alvin has had an opportunity to view it. There was a commercial that Ron Paul sponsored, and it was about a Chinese leader talking to a room of young people, and telling them about great nations of the world, and the last being the United States of America, and that we've been the Americans allowed for the Chinese to come to our country and just buy everything, buy land, buy companies, and also be in debt. We're in debt to them. We're in debt to China. And now, at the end of it, China owns America. We work for them.
Sister Bri.
And what a concept. And that's really, that's reality.
Yeah,
when you think about how Mitt Romney has siphoned and sent jobs to
China.
I've suffered as a result of that. I was a IT consultant for financial institutions in the late 90s and early 2000, and a report that was an analysis that was done by Forbes magazine, I believe in January of 2001, told the financial institutions that they had to do something in order to maintain profits. Therefore, they began to look at all of their departments, and IT being a huge portion of their capital budget, they looked at the money that was being allocated to independent contractors. And at that time, the average project manager was making anywhere from $175 to $250 an hour. And guess who was the first to go? In order to save FTEs, which is full-time employees, they let 75% of their IT consulting contractors go. And then what did they do with those jobs? They sent those jobs to India. They sent them to the Philippines. They sent them overseas.
Yeah, where they don't got to pay nobody. That's why they sent them there. Where
every
we don't have to pay nobody.
I'd say over the last 4 or 5 years, if anyone has, and even 9-year-olds, my former 9-year-old had a cell phone. If you have a cell phone carrier and you call customer service or technical support, 75% of the time you are going to get someone whose first language was not English helping you.
Mm-hmm. You have that experience too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
With computer companies, with cell phone companies, you know, this is what happens. This is what has happened. This is what is going on. What a lot of people don't know is that insurance companies in America are underwritten by Chinese financial institutions. That's a fact that most Americans don't know.
Oh. They own
because
this country.
They think if you have State Farm insurance, it's just State Farm. That's allegedly an American company.
No,
but they
State
are
Farm.
Underwriters yeah, for those companies.
It's State Farm. You're going to pay them too. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
A lot of people don't know that. I'm going to have a friend of mine who is an insurance broker come on the show in upcoming weeks to, because this is a conversation he and I have had offline. His name is Mark, and he lives in Georgia, and he's going to come on to talk about the fact that these companies have Asian underwriters.
Yeah.
This is a fact that most people don't know. Another fact that I wanted to discuss tonight is that the voting sites. Now, one of my personal concerns were for the areas that were subject to the hurricane, there being an issue with people being able to vote. And there have been reports that there have been a lot of polling sites. As a matter of fact, on my way walking down Crown Street, I bumped into our neighborhood mail carrier, who happens to be a former 161 and Lefferts Junior High School alumnus. And his name is Lewis, and I hope he's out there listening. Lewis, big up to you and your family. And thanks for putting a smile on my face as I was about to go all in. he was mentioning that even where he lives in Bed-Stuy, he experienced problems going to vote because they only had one scanner working, and the line was wrapped around the corner.
Oh, the fix is there.
So these are the things that the other side does when they know they're losing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They strategically try to do to to deter people from voting. Even in the voting in the polling area that I went to today, there was one scanner working at 9:30 in the morning. The polls had already been open 3 hours. And when people started complaining, the person who was managing the voting operation, he said, they're on the way.
Oh, that's what they was trying to say. They was trying to say that. Oh, my goodness.
I know you voted. Can you share with us what your personal experiences was voting today, and if you've heard or either looking at local news or any friends or family you've been in contact with to state that there were any problems or that it went smoothly even?
Where we vote within our county, everything pretty much went.
County in New Jersey do you live in?
Middlesex County.
Okay.
Everything went pretty smoothly as far as that. I didn't vote early this morning. I had to wait until after I got off of work. But but everything went pretty smoothly. I didn't really experience any problems out voting. There was a lot of people coming out. I know that a lot of people coming out last minute. So people were making sure that they get their votes in, but not too many technical problems.
Okay. Well, I see that we have a caller coming in, 651 area code. I believe this is Mark in Houston, Texas. So we're going to bring him on the line to join our discussion. Peace and blessings, Mark.
Blessings, Bree, everyone.
How are you today?
I'm well. Doing pretty good.
And did you vote?
Oh, yeah, I voted. Yeah, 7 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm. So how are things in Houston?
Oh, I didn't have any problems, but there was a couple polling places where here and in Galveston that, and basically for people that don't know, Galveston is pretty much a suburb, Galveston is kind of like Long Island is, if you think about it, in proximity to where the city is, and they had some power issues at some of their polling places. I mean, you know, but again, you know, this is what we think about as far as how states lean. Basically, our vote is ceremonial down here if you're voting Democrat, because this is a very, very red state, Texas is. Although
yes.
Harris County is a very blue county. We have a matter of fact, our mayor is she's a lesbian Democrat. So, in the heart of Texas. So, it lets you know.
That's an oxymoron.
Well, it is in a sense, but if you know about Harris County is a big bastion of a liberalism and Democrats, and you know, Sheila Jackson Lee, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee,
mm-hmm.
she's just been projected to win, you know, her seat back. So there are Democrats down there, but the state as a whole, when it comes to the electoral voting and so forth, is definitely clearly a red state. But it was easy. It was easy to vote. I've been listening to the show, and a couple of things I heard, you know, you were mentioning that this, the election really was dividing us, and I don't know. I guess I don't think that this election is dividing us. I think it's just exposing some of our feelings that we've had. You know, a lot of times, you know how you try to get along with folks, you try to like certain things, you try to do it. I think for a certain sector of the population, we were trying to believe we were tolerant. And when I say we, I'm talking about the country we. And we were trying to. And then when stuff starts not going the way we wanted, then you start seeing people's true colors. I mean, I think that, you know, I can't imagine that this election would create problems with other people as much as it exposed people's feelings or their intolerances. You know, I mean.
Well, I'm, you know, just to briefly interject on that point, this is something that I've said time and time again, and I'm glad that things are getting exposed now, because it's only when you are in acknowledgement that there's a problem, that there's an issue, and it's blatantly clear that it can be addressed and dealt with.
Well, you're making a point that is kind of not. Well, see, your point would work, but the only problem with your point is that people don't recognize it as a problem. See, that's the issue. So even though it's exposed, so to speak, it's not exposed as a problem. It's exposed as, hey, something's wrong with you. So really, if I'm having a problem with you, 9 times out of 10, my projection is going to be you are the problem, not me. So I can't really get any help if I think you are the problem. So now, these issues are being exposed, and all they say, it's kind of like me and Bree. So we get upset, we have an issue, and then I see you as the problem. So now if I see you as the problem, somebody might say, well, look, good, at least it's exposed that they're having problems with each other.
But then,
well,
what is it? Stupidity rules? Stupidity rules?
Well, I
want to know what goes on here, because I'm just watching the media and all this stuff. Stupidity rules?
So when you say stupidity rules, I'm kind of.
No, I'm asking. Does it rule?
No. I'm asking you what's the point of stupidity? I'm kind of trying to figure out the stupidity piece.
You're trying to figure it out. I'm gonna say it just like this: that you vote for someone that told you. If someone tells you that they're gonna do exactly what they're gonna do, and they tell you that it doesn't matter whether I get rid of you, or I get rid of your family, or I'm going to eradicate this. Come on. Stupidity is, come on, it's common sense. It ain't got nothing to do with what I feel.
At some point, you got to say to yourself,
do I believe this, or I do? It's not even what I believe. It's what comes out of the people's mouths that's trying to run this country.
Well,
by whatever means they feel they're going to do it by.
Well, I mean, I guess my only thing is, because I was listening to the conversation and we were talking about unions, and coming from I'm in Texas now, but I was born and raised in Chicago, and I remember being under the Daley administration, and I remember the unions, and I remember all of that stuff. And the interesting thing about unions is, granted, people can be all happy about them, I guess, but
Whether I'm in a union or not. What about the people that's not in the union? What about their livelihoods? It has nothing to do with the union. What about livelihoods? This is an everyday life.
Okay, I want Mark to make his point.
Okay, see, here's the thing. So livelihood. Here's the thing. Everybody's gonna have to get some understanding about. In my mind, again, obviously this is my opinion. There's a lot of shifts going on right now, as far as from a technological standpoint. A lot of the quote unquote livelihoods that we are accustomed to, we don't. In order for us to have a more efficient working society, people are going to have to learn how to do some other things. Because here's the reality. The reality is a lot of stuff is so highly mechanized, we don't, in most of our factories, for instance, we don't need as many people. Not to mention what's being exported. I'm not even talking about what's being exported. I'm talking about even the things that are being made here. These factories that are highly mechanized, and it's cheaper for them once they're over, once they've met their initial investment of their of the whatever machinery they have to buy, then now it only takes one or two people to run something and manufacture something where it took way more than that, and maybe let's say 20 years ago. So now what's
here's my point about that, Mark. The problem is, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is that we don't manufacture enough. The flags, the American so-called flag that's draped over the caskets of soldiers who have fought for our freedoms are not even made in America.
Right. Well, let's talk about manufacturing.
That's awful.
Well, let's talk about
that.
We
do not manufacture enough products here in the country to.
Again, let's talk about that for a little bit. We don't. We've been exporting because the issue is back to labor again. And when I say labor, I'm talking about unions, but labor in general. The reality is this.
No, the cost of actually building something, yes.
Well, here's the thing. The thing is about building it is the cost of manufacturing. So, obviously, if we have goods in our country, if they're being manufactured somewhere else. The question would be, why are they being manufactured? And we already know why, because the cost of labor is lower. So, somebody say, well, don't export those jobs. Okay, well let me ask you a question. Are you going to be willing to do this job for that wage? We already know you're not. So, and I can tell you why I know this just by being down in Texas and watching how these Mexican guys come in here and they do dirt. They do jobs for the dirt. And I'm talking about black or white folks ain't going to do them jobs. They're doing jobs. You got somebody cutting my grass for 10, I can get him to cut it for $10. I ain't going to get no brother to cut my grass for $10. Now, that's wrong. Maybe you would say that. But here's the reality. So if you can get cheaper labor, would you get cheaper labor? You won't. So if you don't get cheaper labor, if you're going to have higher wages, then you're going to have to be forced to either, A, do one thing. You're going to pass it on to the consumer, or you're going to decrease the wage. That's the only way it works. It don't work no other way. Okay? So,
well, I understand the math. I'm not talking about the math right now.
But the math,
even though
the
math is very important, can't get away from that.
You can't get away from that. And that's the problem. We got to, if you cannot figure a way to manufacture something at a price where we can get the same quality at a lower price and still get a higher wage, then you're going to keep on exporting. Because, see, the one thing people got to understand is our greed as a society, our want society breeds this junk anyway. Because we constantly want stuff. We want the fastest, best, the greatest, all that. And even poor folks sit back and want, they don't just want to be out of poverty in a sense and be able to have a decent life. They want the best of the best. And somebody said, what's wrong with that, Mark? Nothing. The issue is who's creating these pictures of what's the best. You see what I'm saying? So now we got this unbelievably materialistic want, get, consume society, and now we're upset that jobs are being exported and the labor force is being diluted, but we don't understand. It's this whole concept of want, get, which has us in this position, no matter who gets elected.
No, it matters who's get elected. It matters because there's no way you could just – it matters.
I'm not disagreeing with that. It doesn't matter. But the issue is when you look at what it matters, it can matter all of you if you want it to matter. But you got to understand. I'm not saying you have to understand. I'm not trying to tell nobody nothing. These are clearly what I believe, is what I see. So I just want to make sure I'm not even trying to suggest to nobody that this is the way it should be. But when I sit back and look at it, I look at a structure. So a structure is created the way it's created. It's like when you walk into your house, unless you're going to knock down a wall and change the structure, you are forced to walk through that building a certain way because of how it was created. So I don't care who you bring into that house. They got to abide by the structure of that house unless they're going to knock down the wall. Now, if you're going to knock down the walls, that means you're getting ready to alter the actual structure, and you're going to create thus a new structure. The issue is that the American political structure is what it has been. So we keep substituting people, and some people have more benevolent desires, some may be more malevolent, but even though it's always going to be tempered by that structure. And so the issue is we need to understand what type of structure we have. So, like, I was on another radio show yesterday, and we were having a conversation about this whole issue of Obama wasn't doing this and that and the other. And my issue was this. I said, okay, so if I had Obama here right now and had him sit down next to you, and you said to him, now you can ask him that you want him to do something for you. I said, but what you have to do is you have to ask him why he hasn't done something based upon what he as a president can do. But in order for you to do that, you got to know what a president can't do. And if you don't know what a president can do, like for instance, when a president says he's going to create jobs, the only jobs he can possibly create for sure, is public sector jobs, the most that he can even really do. Now, he can try to influence the private sector by virtue of looking at other opportunities or breaks, but even those breaks, tax breaks and stuff, he can't just do nothing without them going through the various houses. So no matter how benevolent this leader may be, if he can't get the other pieces to agree, he still ain't going to be able to do certain things. So when you start attacking whoever your president is, you got to understand what he, as a president, can do. And I talk to too many people, and I listen to them, and I'm talking about educated people. Sometimes I'd be like, wow, really? They tell me Obama didn't do.
I haven't attacked too many presidents because they wasn't Barack Obama. This is the only president I've watched that been attacked. I never watched, all the presidents I've been through, I had to suffer with them. Even whoever I had to vote, I had to suffer with them because they were going to do what they want to do. They wasn't looking at my hood. They're gonna do what they want to do. I'm just saying I'm looking at this certain president that has become president. And all of a sudden I see all these changes. It's differences, and it's certain this. Even though they try to dance around the fact of who he is, come on, I got to look at who he is. And he cares. And, I'm just saying that. Come on.
Do me a favor, because I just want to know, when you say this and that and this, what are you talking? I'm kind of confused. What this and that are you talking about?
I'm not confused because I've been watching it for years. I watched them. They jerked around the election because one president was related to another one. Come on, it's not math. I can watch what's going on. I can look at straight up what's going on. That it's ridiculous. Come on. Now all of a sudden we got problems with voting. These people haven't even voted yet.
Boy, but let me tell you something. See, here's the thing, and I think people need to understand. Barack Obama got elected because white folks wanted him to be elected. So let's get something straight.
I don't know about that. I disagree with that.
Oh, I can promise you that. Cause
well,
what,
if I could interject, I have to agree with Mark. You have to remember that at that time in our history, there were numbers of white people who were in support of this president. You have to remember his campaign of 2008. It was clear that the numbers of Caucasian people who came out for Barack Obama were staggering. They were I think they were on his expectation.
Here's the thing. The reason I said that is, and what you just said, I'm going to go even further. The reality is that 13% of the population is black. If you look at the voting age of 18, and you look at how many black men are incarcerated or on paper who can't vote, and you subtract that minus the people who are going to vote, 3% or so of the population is available to vote. And of that 3% of the black population that's available to vote, what percentage do you think actually did vote? So, back to my point, who got
Thank you
Barack
very
Obama
much for those
elected? Who got Barack Obama elected? White people, not no black people. No,
exactly.
Any black man got him elected.
I have to agree. That's
here's my thing. As much as we want to talk about the hardships of Barack Obama, he got elected. He got elected because somebody wanted him in that office. But nobody don't talk about that. Somebody wanted him in that office. And we had a desire to see that, obviously.
So we're saying that
white
people are ruling this election.
Well, wait a minute. You got white people.
No, I'm asking.
Wait a minute.
I'm just asking.
You got white people that are Republicans. Well, this is what I'm saying. You got white people who are Republicans. See, now.
But I know white people that's not Republican.
Well, no, let me say this real quick. When you start talking about white people now, see, you got black and white. That's a race thing. But then once you push the minorities out and you just leave the white folks together, now you got ideology. And that ideology, as far as how they want to see things dealt with in our country and how they want governance to be, that's where you see the issue. And see, the minorities get caught up in between all of this mess. Because the Democrats...
If I could, right now, the numbers are 143 Barack Obama to 153 Mitt Romney.
Well, and that's another... You know, we're looking at these numbers, and these numbers are going to fluctuate all through the night. They're going to fluctuate.
Absolutely.
They're going to fluctuate. It's kind of like it's crazy because it's just going to. But back to what I was saying, the white folks wanted Barack in. For whatever reason, they wanted him in. They wanted him in. Because remember this, Barack Obama, and I laughed because my mom was like, she remembered when Barack, because she still lives in Chicago, she was remembering when he was actually
he was a community activist.
Right, she remembered, and we was laughing because I remember where his office was, and she didn't know because before she had never seen his face. This is when he was getting ready to run for state senate, and the thing was they didn't know who he was. It was like that name sounded like some kind of, they thought it was an Arab dude. They didn't know who he was. So now imagine this. December 2007, January 2008, going into the Iowa caucuses. Imagine this. White folks, black folks was all good. We was all rallying behind who? Hillary Clinton. We didn't even know who Barack Obama was, really. We kind of remembered a little bit about that speech that he did at the convention. But
no,
really,
I can't agree with that. I was not rallying around Hillary Clinton, although I think she's brilliant.
Let me tell you, promise you. I remember the Congressional Black Caucus was backing her. Sheila Jackson.
No, I'm saying me personally.
Well, I thought you.
I wasn't, you know, I wasn't really for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Although I have a lot of respect for her, and I think she is a brilliant woman.
Right. And I agree. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying was, we did not know who this dude was. Meaning the black political constituency was not backing Barack Obama. They didn't know who he was. They didn't. And I remember when he got challenges from various people, including Jesse Jackson, once he started moving and getting some momentum, people started saying, what? But you got to understand, a black person didn't put him up to that. They didn't go to him and say, you need to run for president. There wasn't no black person because they had no clout like that to call that like that. They did not have that. They saw this young cat. They said, you know what? We got a good chance. When we look at the field of contestants on the Republican side and we look at this energy that this young cat got, we think we can get something out of here. We think we can get something out of here. Because when all them youthful vote, the youth vote was called white college students. White college students came out in mass to vote for him. White women came out in mass to vote for this dude. Unbelievable. It was crazy. When you look at Grant Park in Chicago, when they had that, once he did win, look at the sea of white folks that was out there. It's no doubt about it. White people wanted him in the office.
Was that because
well,
he
if
wasn't
I could,
lying,
just,
or was that because
could, if I
mean,
could just on that, if I could just on that note, I want to take the time to highlight the states that are in support for either candidate, which will lead us into another part of this discussion because, you know, I'm going to designate Mark our political analyst for the show. The states that have supported Mitt Romney are Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Wyoming, Kansas, Kentucky, West Virginia, South Carolina, Indiana, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Georgia.
It's the L.
Those were,
I call it the L.
Right.
The L.
Those
it's
were
the, L.
the states for Mitt Romney. The states right now that have been called for Barack Obama are the following: New Jersey, New York, Michigan, Vermont, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Illinois, and Illinois.
Right. 158 to 144. 154. It depends on who you want to look at. So you got that. And it's like an L because you go from North Dakota down to Texas, then you go from Texas over to South Carolina, and then in the middle there, you got the Indianas and the Kentuckys and the Tennessees that are still up in there, and then you go to the north. So it's quite interesting. Minnesota hasn't reported yet because they're actually just closing. So they'll be reporting. Iowa is going to be another toss-up state. We don't know what's going on. Missouri is the one that's leading, but we don't know where it's going.
That America loves lies. You love lies. Come on.
That's what the L stands for? Lies?
Lies. You love lies.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if I could stand up there and have $1 billion and lie to the people, that means you love lies, that you support lies. Come on. It ain't hard to figure out. It ain't a matter of color or who's running. If you love a lie, you love a lie.
What,
you
what?
Eat turkey in November. Even though people were slaughtered, you do that. I mean, come on, it's not hard to watch. So I can't be surprised. I can only I can only look at what I got to look at.
Well, here's another thing, Mark. I'm going to allow you to speak in just one moment. This is another thing that I want you to take into consideration also, Mark, since you're our designated political analyst for tonight. We have the congressional balance of power. We have the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. As I said, there are currently 435 seats in the House of Representatives and a total of 100 seats in the United States Senate. Right now, we have 52 Democratic seats to 81 Republican seats in the House of Representatives. 302 are undecided at this time. In the United States Senate, we have 41 Democratic seats to 42 Democratic seats, 2 independent, and 15 seats that are undecided. So let's talk about, because this is what we're going to talk about today and then tomorrow's show, where we're going to have several individuals that are in politics right now, we're going to talk about the balance of power and how that, and depending on who our next president is going to be, what does that mean for them? What does it mean for Barack Obama in the event that he has to deal with, again, a Congress that's mainly Republican? And then also flip that around and tell us, what do you think will be the result of him dealing with a Congress that is finally Democratic and that he can get some things done in the next 4 years?
Okay, but we don't, let's not have amnesia now. We came in, he had both houses. It flipped.
Yes.
So wait a minute. So let's talk about this. It flipped. It flipped And it's kind of interesting because when you look at history and you look at the fact that the majority of presidents that did most of the stuff they did not do it with the with two houses filled the way, you know, with their party, number one. So even Clinton. So you found what – see, here's the thing. The thing is, what do people really want to see? Meaning, what does the body politic really want to see as a result for the people? And I'm talking about irregardless of your party. And that's what – because, see, what I always find interesting is these are the same people, no matter whether they're Republican or Democrat, that go to the same golf courses, go to the same restaurants. They are friends. Let's get this straight. They're not enemies. So it's quite interesting that when we start talking about the concept of the spirit of bipartisanism, the issue really for me is what's the overall political agenda for this country, if we were really honest. Because the lay people like you and me and everybody else, we have all these feelings and these emotions about shit. But at the end of the day, they know what they are planning on doing. And because we have representative government, thank God, to some extent, we know that we can interchange the parts every 4, 6, so on. But when we put them in there, we have to deal with the fact that they have collective agendas. And we have to vet their collective agendas, but it ain't easy to do that. So what happens at the end? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go on.
No,
I'll let you finish your point.
A lot of these things become, you know how we always talk about politics is really local. Politics is very local. It's so local, it's ridiculous. And although we get caught up into what I call the beauty pageant called the presidential race, because I really still really think it is a beauty pageant. I'm supporting Obama, but I don't really think it's that big of a deal who gets in there. I know a lot of people say, but you don't understand. Like, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket. I ain't really worried about that because when I look at the underpinnings, we already set up to do that anyway. So you just want somebody to stall that? We're going down because we were imperialists, we were conquerors, and one thing is, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword, so we're going to go down. You just got to get ready. So we can go
right
down.
And which is synonymous with the point that I was making about the commercial that Ron Paul sponsored with the Chinese leader talking to his people about America, about all great civilizations in the past that have fallen. The most recently in 20, this, I think this commercial was dating 2031 or something like that. And they were talking about how America fell because of their greed, because of overspending, and not manufacturing products, and doing things to make their country great. So, which kind of segues me into a point that you made earlier and that I also discussed before you came on, and that is that white males will be the minority in the Democratic caucus going into 2013 for the first time in history, which speaks to the shift that you're talking about that's taking place in our world and in our country and in our government.
Well, you know, the thing I have to say about that, which is kind of interesting, I don't even think that's important. I think that's symbolic at best, because I look at South Africa and I look at many other civilizations that were ruled by minorities, by the minority, meaning whoever the power grab. The bottom line is, just because they're going to be fewer white men, the people who are holding the purse strings are still the ones who are holding the purse strings. And they ain't going to just give them to you just because it's more of you than it is of them. You feel
mm-hmm.
me? So when you look at the fact that you can, it's not a big deal that because if you look at the majority of white folks, hell, the majority of white folks are middle class, and a great deal of them are poor anyway.
Yeah.
So the powerful white people are going to still be the powerful white people. It's just going to be the lower class white folks is going to be more white men are going to be more well and they're inept. That's all. Because the powerful white guys like the Donald Trumps and the other guys, they good. They don't care. They don't care if it's you a white guy. Why do they care about that? That ain't changing their agenda because they got the money. And see, so this is
well,
what
I want to welcome Dwan back, And I also want to speak to a poll that was done by MSNBC. And the question was, did you vote? And 86% of the people said yes. 11% of the people who took the poll said no. 2% said no, not yet, but I plan to. And 1% said not sure if they're going to vote.
Yeah, well, so, you know, what it is. We do. I you know, it's almost kind of like if you knew, think about this, Bree, and anybody else on the phone on a call here or whatever. So,
oh, I'm sorry I want to. Well, everyone knows that this is Mark in Houston, Texas. I'm being joined tonight with Dwan in New Jersey, and Brother Alvin. So. You're not strangers to one another. You've all been on the same panel in most recent past shows. So,
well, all it takes is voting for Romney. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I'm in New York. I'm just saying.
I'm looking at it. It's a fact. I'm watching what's going on.
Well, I
mean, all
I
of Texas, I mean, and it's Texas, so I'm not surprised, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, Texas, you already know what Texas is going on. I mean, Texas has been gone. Texas wasn't even a factor. Texas is like California is. California is going, is Democrat. It's going Democrat. Illinois, Texas is like Illinois. Illinois, we already knew where Illinois was going. So it's never been a, nobody worried about Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, or South Carolina. Nobody was worried about that. We knew where it was going. Nobody care about it. I mean, from the political chess game.
Nobody cares. Game. Somebody got to care.
Well, here's what I'm saying. When I,
well, I care. I care. I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I care.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the Electoral College from the standpoint of when you're dealing with a strategy and you know that 9 times out of 10, you ain't going to win every state. You ain't going to win at all. I mean, you know. It's not about winning.
It's about who's supporting your job overseas where you're not going to be working tomorrow. It's not just about that.
I don't think you're missing the point. Here's the thing. You don't control whether I do that anyway. Unless the government.
I'm not going to control it anyway.
Let me show you something.
But at least I know what I'm watching.
But wait a minute. If the government ain't going to give me more money to underwrite my business, and if the government does give me more money to underwrite my business, who are they going to get it from? They're going to get it from you anyway because you're going to give it to them in tax.
First of all, as many times as I worked, I ain't looked at the government to give me none because I work for what I get.
Let me say this. So the reason that businesses are going overseas because it's more attractive to them. The same way you go for another female.
No, they vote for a person that's important in overseas because he's a billionaire and he's putting it over there.
Exactly.
It's not just me and you.
The business guy who runs the company. The business guy who owns the
company. But America's not a company.
Wait a minute. We're not talking about the company. We're not importing our military. You know what I'm saying? So that's not the part that's America. America is a government that's supposed to, when it says we the people, in order to form a perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, it's not talking about the fact that each state has their ability to do their own regulation, that they're supposed to be, there is supposed to be limited government by virtue of the Constitution, it's supposed to be limited government. So each state is supposed to, for the most part, they cannot create currency. But for the most part, each state is responsible for their commerce as long as it abides and lines up with the overall interstate requirements, so to speak.
I'm talking about a person running for the presidency of the United States that's putting the job that I do right here in this country where I'm at. I get yelled at by the foreman every day. I'm talking about what I do right here. He wants to put that overseas.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let me just
put you both on pause right now. The update is that Obama is winning by 157 and Romney is 153, and it's projected that Obama will win Pennsylvania, which is one of the three key electoral states that are left. It's Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida that have the largest electoral votes that are left, that it's important for him to win. So that's where we are right now.
But back to what you were saying about who he's, because you're referring to Romney and you're referring to him as being having his pockets, investments, and so forth and so on.
No, I refer to him as a slime ball that he's been and a liar since this has started.
Yeah,
I don't want to get misconstrued. I want to be known exactly if I've been saying that he's
okay.
And he's told on himself.
Let me interject and ask Duan, what do you think about what Mark is saying?
In reference to what he had, and he was making a lot of good points.
So any point that he's made thus far that you either agree or disagree with?
I definitely agree with a lot of things. One of the things that I do see, when we're talking about the two, first of all, like I was saying, if I can go back to what we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of emotional decisions being made right now, even as we speak. And what we have to recognize is that,
I'm sorry. And the person who's moving around, stop, because we're getting feedback. Thank you. Okay. Continue, Duan.
Information is and information is good, and obviously Mark knows his he knows his stuff, but at the end of the day we have to realize where we're at. Again, facts matters. There are a lot of emotional decisions that are going about right now, and we have to understand that even though we see who needs to be in office, it might not be due to the fact of, as we were saying before, of race, So, with everything said, we have to pull ourselves together and ask, what is it that we can do no matter what the decision is, after tonight? What is it that we can do to make America better, to make America more united? And so that's something that that's really what in my mind, in my world, that's what I'm like kind of focusing on, because we can use the we can speak the information, we can use it to help us get a better understanding, and it's great. But at the end of the day, because at the end of the night, we're going to find out the facts, who won this thing. And so we have to ask ourselves, how is it that we can make America better no matter what happens after tonight? I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the same guy that was running this country for the last 4 years, I believe he's overqualified to run it for the next 4 years. Not just due to opinions, but due to the facts, due to what we've already accomplished in the last 4 years. But that's me. That's my thing. If America really ran on facts, the fact of the matter is that Obama would be the key leader of this country. But because we understand that people are making decisions based off of emotions and not facts, we have to for those who do understand anyway, we have to make sure that we find a way to help America as a people, no matter what the decision is after tonight. So that's where my head is at. That's where my head is at. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all the information, and I'm enjoying the discussion. And
to just interject, Duan, for a moment, I want to remind our listeners that we'll be going into overtime, but in order for them to continue to listen and possibly participate in our discussion, they're going to have to call in. By doing so, they would call 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Please continue. And I just want to thank all the panelists for calling in and participating in the discussion. And I want to remind everyone to tune in tomorrow to Bree Life Radio, as we're going to have a discussion on where are all the black leaders and organizations. Thank you again. Duane,
yeah.
Please continue. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I was saying before, because, you know, the decision, you know, the decision doesn't rest, you know, in Duane's hands. Decision doesn't rest in Mark's hands. You know, we're all a part of the decision, but the ultimate decision does not rest in one person's hands. You know, so there's a lot that, you know, one individual does not have control over, you know, and we can sit and talk about it for as long as we want to. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, after tonight there's gonna be someone in the White House, you know, either someone staying or someone new. And so we have to come to ourselves and ask ourselves, what is it that we can do to help better this country, no matter what the decision is made after tonight? Because there's going to be a lot of people. I'm telling you, work is going to be a lot different tomorrow. I guarantee you. You know, you're going to go in the office, and you know, there's the atmosphere is going to be very different. You know, no matter who wins, you know, I mean, you know, if Romney wins, you know, then there's going to be his supporters that's going to have a different kind of tone, you know, in office tomorrow and vice versa, you know.
I'm sorry. Here's the projection for it is confirmed. Barack Obama has won the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
So we're continuing on. And
well,
we
I'm glad someone ain't stupid out there.
Oh boy!
but you know what? And one thing that, you know, I just feel like we have to get away with, and I hope I'm being clear. I'm trying to be as clear as possible. But one thing that we have to be get away from, period, is to not let this thing overtake us. You know, to not let this thing overtake us. You know, all the supporters of Mitt Romney, you know, if Barack wins, then they, you know, the right thing to do is to say, okay, how can we make this country better and get behind a man that we all chose to run this country? You know, I agree with Alvin, my brother, I agree with you 100%. I believe that Mitt Romney is a slime ball. I believe it. And, you know, I believe that the man that we picked to be president, and he has the last 4 years, I believe that he's more than qualified to finish the job that he started. But it's not up to me, you know. At the end of the night, you know, our president may be Mitt Romney. So we have to figure out, okay, you know, no matter who wins, how are we going to help make this country better? How are we? You know, because we make the states united. You
but
know,
Mitt Romney's not thinking about us. He's not thinking about us that way. He already told us what he thinks of us. That's why I keep saying I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be crazy. But come on, man said it out of his mouth. It's not like no one's making it up. He in a room, someone that obviously does not agree with him. They had the gall to videotape you secretly saying what your real thoughts are. And these people will still turn around and vote. America, you know, they love lies. They I mean, come on. They like Hollywood. They'll watch, you know, come on. They like all the stuff they like. It to me, it's just disgusting.
I got a question. So what did he say? Okay, because I read it, what he said. I heard what he said on video, but I'm trying to figure out what is it that he said that told you what? What did he say? I mean,
what did he say? When I watched all three presidential elections, what is it he said? It's when he backtracked. He even agreed with Obama with everything. I'm like, wait a minute. First you was going against him. Now you for him?
Okay.
Now you turn it around. Come on.
Okay.
It's not hard to figure out.
So I'm not even supporting Romney. My thing is I'm listening to what was just said about our emotions and how we're gonna have to go forward. See me, if y'all ever get a chance to know me, and it'd be great to get the chance to know you, gentlemen. I'm not really concerned about none of this like that. I'm more on really the fact that if we really took this show would be a whole different show if we took it the way I'm thinking. My issue is spread love. The bottom line is it's about love. I ain't really worried about all this other stuff. But
Romney ain't got no love for me. Romney don't got no love for me. So I can't do that show. I can't do that.
Hold on.
Yes.
Well, no, what my feeling about us all talking is, you know, we can sing together, but we all can't speak at the same time. So when a person is giving their point, we got to let them have the luxury of getting it out so that he can clearly.
Well, I want to ask Alvin a question whenever the floor is open.
So all I was saying was about the love thing was this. It was this. And when I say share love, I'm saying the bottom line is this. What I am hearing said is that we are going to, like you said, we're going to have one of these guys going to be our president anyway. And it don't make a difference how I feel about him per se, because I don't know this man, and half of this stuff is propaganda on both sides. Whether I like it, see, here's the thing. I like Barack Obama, but I can call him out on his rhetoric too, because they're both using it. The issue is I'm not really worried about none of that stuff, because at the end of the day, these guys are going to be the leaders, but they're leaders based upon a system that they're connected to, and they're not leading in solo. I don't care who they are. They're not leading in solo. And number two, we talked about Mitt Romney, and as I said, if we really expose all these politicians, I'm talking about the Democrats too. I'm saying even Barack Obama. If we start looking at where his investments are, what if we find out the companies he invested into have overseas interests that are way off kilter? The bottom line is that if we invest in any of our major American companies, we already know that our money is going over. We got overseas interests involved, so to speak. So what we're going to have to come to understanding is because of various decisions we made, and back to like you some of the Ron Paul thing, various decisions we made. We are part of a global. We're part of a global environment right now. And the reality is we're going to have to learn how to navigate this new landscape. We don't want to because of the imperialistic attitude that America has. Remember how this country came to be in the first place. You see, so the reality is we are the, you know, conquerors. But I also want to put it against them because if you look at societies over, like you were saying, Bree, and you were listening to what Paul said, the reality is that most of these places, unless you're Aboriginal people of the various parts of the world and on the various continents, from South America to Africa to Australia, the Aboriginal people almost on all those continents have been co-opted by people, whether they of all colors, that thought that hey, their way of living was discounted. So the reality is, we took over. But because we took over, we become victims of our own successes or our own ways of doing things. So guess what? Somebody wants to take over us. You know what I'm saying? And it goes on. It's a vicious cycle. So how do we get along? We get along when we start saying, look, you are my brother. Meaning, I don't care what you look like, you are my brother. And until we get to that real understanding we are brothers, we're going to keep doing it. So, I mean, we're going to do this. And you're right. The workplace is going to be a real different workplace tomorrow. You're surely right.
Well, here's what I want to say to that. I do agree with what Dwan has said. And the more that I go out in the community and I talk to people, when I went to the polling station today in my neighborhood, which is a block away from my home, I saw, and I want to give a shout out to my friend Kenyetta, better known as Candy. She was my best friend in fifth grade. And I haven't seen her in about a decade, and it was good seeing her today. And she's very politically aligned. She's very, you know, in tune with what's going on in the neighborhood. And I got a chance to shake the hands of a lot of people who are in the neighborhood that are listening and in support of the Bree Life Radio Show. And just the energy and the feeling at this polling station today, and the determination that people had to make sure that their vote counted. I saw today a 98-year-old woman walk three blocks, which is a feat for someone 98 years old in 30-degree weather. It was important for her to go vote because, you know, being realistic, this very well could be the very last election she votes in. And she told me that she was determined, even though it took her a while today to get, you know, get up and running, that she was going to come out of her house and vote. What Dwan said, and I believed in the spirit of what Mark has said, and I even think without all of the underlining and overwhelming passion that Brother Alvin is coming to us tonight with, it's our communities are important. And it's going to be very, very important tomorrow and over the next 4 years and over the next 25 years of our lifetimes that we do all we can to make this country a better place. Our community, and we start in the space that we're standing, and we mushroom out. And in order to do that, we have to put the hatred, we have to put our disdain, we have to put a lot of things aside to look at the bigger picture and to understand that we are in a global community and that we have to interact with one another regardless of who's going to be the president-elect tomorrow morning. And because this country is clearly so divided right now about this election, we're going to have to change our mindsets tomorrow. Because let's say if Romney is the president-elect, well, that means that if we have such a distaste for him as a person or a politician that we got to know over these last couple of months, then it's important for us to do something in our communities to make sure that our politicians are accountable for the things that we feel that are important to us. We have to make our politicians in our local communities more accountable for the things that are important to us. And then on the flip side, if we wake up tomorrow and it's clear that Barack Obama is going to be president of the United States for the next 4 years, well, he wrote a book named Accountable. And now we're really going to have to make him accountable for our agenda, which also means that we're going to have to align ourselves with our local politicians, and we're going to have to get our agenda in his face so that our way of life and our quality of life has some improvement. I mean, what would you say about that, Mark?
I mean, again, I go back to my whole issue of spread love. And I mean, you know, my thing is, I'm not saying this just to say this because it's a convenient thing to say. The reality is this: you are my brother, and you are a reflection of me, whether I like it or not. You know, and my level, my ability to care about my brother, see, because I still believe that I got some, like I said, I would love to do a show that talks about energy and the fact that I believe we are energy and that we vibrate at different, that we have vibrational levels. And the higher levels that we vibrate, it's harder for us to ignore. It's like radiate. It's like how the sun radiates heat or whatever. You can't ignore that. You can try to cover up or whatever, But the more intense my heat is or my energy is, the more you have to acknowledge it. So it's a proven fact, you know, that, you know, a high level of love and energy can bring people to their consciousness. You know what I'm saying? But that means that you're going to have to be very honest about where your bias is and your truly dislike. You're going to have to let go of some of that stuff. People don't want to let go of that stuff. Because, first of all, the fact that what a president can do, see, we get so caught up into this whole president thing. And, again, I understand not like, I don't, first of all, I don't know neither one of these men. I don't know them. I don't know them. You know what I'm saying? And I can believe what I want to believe about them having my best intentions. But my question is, do I have my best intentions in mind? Meaning, do I care about myself?
Yeah.
Do I call ourselves, I say we all are environmentalists, meaning that the energy that we bring into our environment, either we're polluting into it or we're bringing some level of cleanliness and clarity to our environment. So if you're vibrating at a certain level, you're a polluter. So you don't care about your environment. And that might be because you're not aware, because no one would intentionally make himself sick. You wouldn't do it. So if you knew you were polluting and you knew, because you don't think you're polluting, you don't think this is going to hurt you, you don't think this is going to affect you. So, for instance, not liking folks, being mad at folks all the time, being upset all the time, you don't think it's a problem. You think you should be upset at all these people. No, what you should be doing is, like you say, you should be more solution, problem-solving oriented. Where it's like there's an old saying, don't curse the darkness, light a candle. But we do a lot of cursing the darkness. We ain't lighting no candle. And a lot of us say, well, brother, it's easy for you to say, because you don't know what I've been through. Again, you cursing the darkness. I don't know what you've been through. But seeing as you have been through something, do you want to keep going through something? What part did you have in what you went through? So now you want to make the victim the problem. No. I'm saying that you have to look at what you can do, either that, or you can continue to demonize people, which means you're going to continue to create all these enemies and these adversaries in order for you to be able to keep going on. Because some people, you know, they thrive off of having to have an adversary. They ain't got no adversary. They ain't got nobody to fight. They don't know what to do.
This is true. I mean, Paul, speaking as a person who has gone through some things, the one thing I do know that's true is that you can't keep talking about the stuff that you've been going through and expect for you to get out of your condition. You have to do things to distract yourself to improve your condition. So,
well, Romney is a condition. What are we going to do about the condition? Vote for that condition? I don't want to. I don't vote for a cold. So I don't want to get sick. So I got to do something about that condition. What I'm gonna do? Vote for it.
You did.
Okay.
You did something.
So you voted for it. That's what I'm trying to say. You actually. So
I didn't vote for no Mitt Romney.
No, you're not listening. You did something today.
I ain't listening.
You got up and you voted. You voted for who you believed in.
Yeah, you cast your bread on the water. You know, you did it. So now you're gonna see what come back.
No, I looked at.
Now, there are 300 million people that live in the United States, and, you know, I'm sure that 999,000 of them don't want you voting for them. They want to vote for themselves. So, you know, this is what's going on today. Their voices are being heard just like yours, the ones that could vote. The ones that wanted to vote, they're letting their voice be heard today, and we just have to hope that the person that we want to win will win, regardless if it's Mitt Romney or if it's Barack Obama. But again, speaking to both what Dwan and Mark has shared with us, the importance of it is that we can't forget that the grassroots view of our condition is where we are. And we have to work on that. We have to work on making our environment, our communities, better and stronger, and that mushroom out. And once you do that, you'll have a better global community. That's my opinion.
But you know what, though, Bree? Here's a bigger, and it goes along with the thing. The thing is, you got to believe that that makes a difference by doing. You got to believe that what you're doing makes a difference just by virtue of you making that effort, by virtue of applying that intention. You got to believe that. A lot of people don't believe it really affects you. They don't really think that they can't. They don't think that.
Well, I'll give you an example. I'm gonna give you an example, and we're gonna talk about kinds of act, you know, a simple act of kindness. A-okay. All right. Today, in the morning before I went to vote, I put on my Facebook page that we shouldn't forget our seniors and those who are disabled. Our communities, so they might either have difficulty getting to the polling stations to vote. They may also have they may be less motivated because of their condition. You got to do some outreach. That's going to be a part of our discussion tomorrow. That there has definitely been a shift in our communities over the last 25-year period, that we're losing touch with one another. Technology and a bunch of other things have caused us to lose touch with each other. It's something synonymous with what Mark has said, and I'm not going to quote you word for word, but the overall message in what you had said one time is that we oftentimes don't know our next-door neighbor, if you remember saying that, Mark.
Yeah, I was talking about when we had a hurricane down in Ike. And before we had Ike, actually, where I worked out, and I worked at a homeless shelter, as a social worker at a homeless shelter, We had a what we call hurricane. We do hurricane preparedness on a regular basis here. Y'all gonna start doing that too, watch. Anyway, because season we do hurricane preparedness every year. Every year it's like mandatory at your company. And when we were doing it, the guy that was doing the company that was doing it, he was telling us. He said, "You know what? You all need to get to know who lives next door." He said, "Because a lot of y'all don't know who your neighbor is." He said, "I'm gonna tell you because I've been in. Because when Hurricane Rita happened, when Katrina happened, and when Tropical Storm Allison happened down here, he was telling us. He said, "You will find out how important it is to know your neighbor." Because at the end of the day, when somebody's trying to go into your house, somebody don't really know you half the time, he ain't going to say nothing. Because, first of all, he might not even know that that's somebody that shouldn't even be going to your house. He ain't got no relationship with you. He don't know nothing about you. He said, you'd be surprised. If you just go by to knock on your door, and I ain't talking about you got to go and have no hug, kumbaya. All you got to do is say, "Hey, my name is Mark. I know you live over here. How you doing? Whatever." That's it. And you can move around. Now, that might develop into a longer relationship, but at least it will be an acknowledgement that, hey, I see you, I know you, I want you to know who I am. And that changed, and like he was saying, and I did notice that, because when we outside now, because I didn't have electricity for 17 days.
The person who's moving around, stop, please.
All right, okay,
thank you.
But, for 17 days, and the funny thing about it, I remember when me and my girlfriend, we had went to, we couldn't find no water. We had ran out of water, so we went farther out of town. We ended up coming back with like about 424, you know, cases of water, whatever. And you know what? We gave two of them to our neighbors. We gave two of them to our neighbors. You know, and it was just like, hey, we know the date because they couldn't move around, and they weren't even elderly. They just had a situation where they couldn't move around like that, and they didn't ask us to do nothing. They didn't even know where we were going. You know, we drove 70 miles out of town to go get some water. You know what I'm saying? But we shared it with them. And the funny thing about it, just changed the whole. You see, when you see someone's face, when you did something for them, especially that they know you didn't have to do, and they can sense that you're not doing it for no reason other. We wasn't doing it for nothing to get nothing back. Just was thinking about our neighbors. because we, you know, all you, you know, we thought about ourselves in a sense, because you might call it a selfish move, because it was about self. We gave that water because we would think we would want somebody to do that for us. You know what I'm saying? And that, those little gestures, man, come on. They ain't little. First of all, they're not little gestures. The problem is the way we look at stuff from a, on scale. We look at stuff on scale. So a case of water is little to somebody. And if I gave him $1,000, that's big. But it depends on what he needed. Because, you know what I'm saying, I give him $1,000, he can't go get no water.
Yeah.
Right.
So that water was big.
I agree what he's saying. I do have a question for you.
Okay. Before you ask his question, there's two points I want to make. Right now, where it stands, Obama has 162, Mitt Romney has 163. The second point I want to make is the following. The polls will be closing across the country, and there's a good chance we may not know who the president is until well after midnight. The projected winners are just that. They're projected. In our representative democracy, voters choose the electors, who then choose the president. Because these are points that I didn't get a chance to make earlier.
Electoral college.
And the magic number is 270. If no candidate gets 270, then the House chooses the president, and the Senate chooses the vice president. And that's a fact.
Yeah, but before that ever happened, there will be all kind of
lawsuits and protesting.
And all I know is when Reagan ran against Carter, when the polls closed, it looked like it was Reagan lost. We woke up in the morning, it was a landslide.
Right.
A landslide. So, we, you know, that taught us a lot back then. And if that didn't teach us nothing, Gore v. Bush, come on, we already know about Gore v. Bush stuff, but we don't even go there. That was a whole another game. 2000 was interesting. Everybody remember 2000. You know,
so, I'm sorry, Duane. Now, please feel free to ask your question.
Yeah, just really quick, and I'm really enjoying and soaking up a lot of information. It's, you know, it's a lot of things that I'm a little it's kind of foreign to me. So I'm definitely learning a lot from both Mark and Alvin. But I do have a question for you, Mark, because keep in mind, some people, the majority of people, period, you know, they don't like to get mingled into the game of politics, you know. And as a matter of fact, you know, it's a lot of people that, you know, have never really like been connected to it until, you know, we found out that we may have a black president, and so now we do. And so if we do have Mitt Romney as our president tomorrow, what are some encouraging things to those that don't know how to handle this, you know, the results? What are some encouraging things that you can say to, you know, say your neighbor on how he can help the community in spite of, you know, what he feel is unfair or unjust, you know, from, you know, as far as being a part of this country? Like, what are some things that you can find encouraging some things that you can offer him to say, listen, I understand that, you know, things didn't go the way you wanted it, but here are some things that you can do in spite of to help our country. Yeah, if I can put it like that, that's a little bit better.
Number one thing I would tell them is first of all, I would say something just about what you just said, and then what I would throw in there is that, but this may not be a consolation to you, but I want you to know that your system actually worked. Now, you, meaning, because what a lot of people are going to want to believe, it was a fix. The fix was in. Because, unfortunately, which I never understood 100%, when your guy doesn't win, why is it a fix? I mean, it could very well be a fix. But even if it was, probably would have. Huh? Because it was,
Sorry.
Anyway, So, but that being said, the reality is that ultimately you wanted your president to win, hopefully, because not because he was black only. I mean, or whatever. You know, the symbolism of him being black, the same skin color as you, that's beautiful. But why did you want him to be elected anyway? Because I can promise you, if you come up with some real reason why you want him to be elected, what you need to realize is this. Politics, for the most part, is local. So like you just said, we need to look at now. So now your eyes have been opened to the political process. It was on a much grander scale. Now I want you to see that, to be honest, stuff like school boards, stuff like in different cities, aldermen and councilmen and all that stuff, that's important. Potholes that ain't getting fixed, metro accessibilities of various, you know, for people who have handicaps, things of that nature. I mean, because now we can find out how serious you are. Because see, here's the thing. We got to be honest about how serious we really are by helping ourselves and our faith in the first place. Because a lot of times we want a president because we want him to be the Messiah. And then when and the reality is, wait, come on, dude.
I understand. A liar? Liars don't get credit. Liars never get credit. So why in an election a liar would get credit? You can't be serious if you voted for a liar. He's a liar, so that means you're a liar too. That's acceptable.
Okay, this is what I want to say. I want to say this, and I was thinking about this. And this really makes me think about the fact that right now I can promise you there's a blog talk radio show on that sounds just the opposite of us. And the crazy part about it is for all of us to live in the same country, why is it that some people feel so that Obama is going to take us to hell in a handbasket, that he doesn't, all he wants to do is take money out of our pockets and give it to people who don't want to do nothing? Why do you not
because
people
they're looking
like
at his skin color. They're looking
wait,
at his
wait,
skin
wait,
color.
Wait.
That's
wait,
why.
Here's my point. My point is
they've been
not
trained.
Even important. It's not even important 100% why they feel that way is that they actually feel that way and that there is a radio show going on right now somewhere, a conversation going on somewhere that sounds just like the opposite of the mirror opposite of our conversation. And the same.
There's also a radio show called He's Not White. That's why.
Wait a minute. There's white conversations. You turn on MSNBC. There's white conversations going on that sound like our conversation. So here's the question: whether it be black or white, because I guarantee you, there's some black folk, whether you believe it or not, that
it can't be whether it's black or white because that's the way the country has judged it. They're judging it that way. They're not looking at what he's done, his actions. They're not looking at that.
Okay, but give me this then, just for the sake of this conversation. Just give me this for the sake of this conversation, because I hear what you're saying. My point is that people are believing the things that they're believing, and they're feeling the way they're feeling, and the reality is we're in the same space, so to speak, America, feeling all these same feelings. So when I think about what do we do moving forward, at the end of the day, we have to be able to look at another man and say, wait a minute, no matter what your differences are, at the end of the day, we suck off the same straw. I inhale your exhalation. And until we get to understand that, wait a minute, what happens to you is so important to me. And what happens to me is so important to you. And until we understand that, then we continue to have what I call this illusion of separation. We ain't separate, but we have an illusion of separation. So it's them, it's Republicans, it's Democrats, it's those, it's us. It's all of this, again, it's an illusion. It's an illusion. It ain't no separation. But we think it is. So guess what? If I think it's like walking around and I'm barking and I'm on all fours and just because I think I'm a dog don't make me one. It just don't work that way. And so I don't understand. But if I don't understand this, if I don't understand what my nature is or who I am, and I'm walking around acting like something other than that, then I'm gonna go around and do some other things. But what might happen is the more I see people mirroring a different type of behavior, a different type of consciousness, then I'm going to, even if I fight against it, I'm going to wonder more about it. I'm going to want to know why these people are doing what they're doing, why they're acting the way they're acting. You see what I'm saying? It's just like when you see, you go to a supermarket and you see a kid acting crazy. Why? The first thing you think about is a parent, but you still wonder why a kid acting like that. Just like when you see somebody that's well-mannered, you want to know why they're acting like that. Oh, that's so nice. The bottom line is that
I'm not going to lie. I'm wondering why people voting for Mitt Romney they doing. Why? I'm not going to lie. I think it's insanity. It's insanity to vote for a man that lied to you for 500 days.
Let's go along with that. So if it's insanity, then we're going to need you, if you care about these people, to show more sanity. Whatever that, you know what I'm saying? So that's
my point. I did for insanity. I voted for Obama.
This is the thing, because and this is what I was trying to get across because you know what, we have listeners that are listening right now, and we have to prepare these listeners for these results, and you know how to respond to these results, you know how to carry out their day tomorrow, and not just tomorrow, but here forward. And we have to make sure we help them understand that no matter what happens, you know, we have to move forward and still continue to go forward and to, you know, to make our neighborhoods better and our country better, you know. And so that's what I was asking you, Mark. I apologize if I wasn't too clear. I was trying to sum up all the stuff that you were talking about, and at the same time trying to make my point, you know, trying to get my point across. But what are some things that we can prepare our listeners as far as how we carry out not only tomorrow, but how we help America, you know, for example, the next 4 years or even 8 years if Mitt Romney carries the term that long?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Number one, I do want to
put in there before you start, though, if he wins the race.
Right,
I'm not
right,
projecting
right.
It.
Number one, the world did not end. Number two, you have to understand that there are congressional races that will be coming up soon, and that those congressional races will impact his ability to govern, because whatever he does, he still has to get them through two houses, meaning when it comes to legislation. Now, when it comes to things concerning maybe trade and so forth and so on, what you could do is you can try to find out what lobbies are out there, what groups are out there that are formed, because there are a lot of nonprofits that every day are going around lobbying and opposing, so to speak, or bringing to light certain types of things. Because if you notice, even when Barack Obama had majorities and votes of the houses, he still didn't have a cakewalk getting things through. Bush didn't either, because he had folks that was there. So once you realize that, wait a minute, you have a lot of power when it comes to how local government affects national government, and though you lost a race, you still have a lot of power by virtue of investigating the other avenues of how government works. And then when you start putting pressure or interest or involvement in those areas, then you become part of a process, because he cannot govern without going through those houses. He has to deal with those committees. He has to deal with all of that stuff. He still does. And right now, as it goes, unfortunately, he's going to have to be able to reach across the aisle, so to speak, quote, unquote, unquote. Now, remember this now, and I'm just saying, Mitt Romney was a governor of Massachusetts, and he worked with a majority Democratic legislature. So the reality is this. This is what I want to say about Mitt Romney, I'm not backing him, but I can promise you this. He's far more moderate than he is right. And remember this. They did not want him to be the nominee. I was just listening to Newt Gingrich the other day, and I almost busted up, just was on the floor. Because the things that Newt was saying about him before, you could tell even now he was tempering himself. Because the moment that Romney, if he gets in and he doesn't do the things, because he ain't going to do all the things he wants, because he never governed from the right. He's never been a right guy. He's always been a moderate guy. So the problem is you got more ability to push him towards the directions you want to, because he is not a right guy. He's not a right guy. So what I would tell people is if he gets in, you can take advantage of the things that a lot of the Massachusetts, because remember, Romney cares a lot like Obamacare. See, people, that was the one thing, that was the only reason he got in, because what happened is the Republican Party started saying to themselves, we gotta come up with somebody that looks a little more like these independents. Because if we had Gingrich in there, we lose fast, quick and fast. We're gonna lose quick and fast. We gotta find a mark. Plus, he's not the ugliest looking guy. He can carry himself in a certain way. We gotta figure out how to get the best out of a bad situation. They did not want him. You gotta remember, in September when they were in Iowa, they did not want Ron. They did not want this guy. All the way up to June, they did not want this guy. Everybody was going against him. But eventually, people saw that, hey, he looks a little better to the independents. So now they got a hope they can push legislation through and get him to agree. But the way he's governed, it would surprise me if he's going to do it. He's going to make a lot of Republicans mad if he gets in. I don't think he's going to get in for that same reason, because I think a lot of Republicans did not vote because they know that he's not a true red guy. They know he's not a true red guy. So that's what I would tell people going forward. The number one, support your local government. Find out what the issues are. Find out how
what their platform is. What their platform is.
Find out who the. See, remember this. I like the word platform in a sense, because I'm gonna use it as a dual standpoint. Platform is something a person stands on. But here's the reality: they're standing on the shoulders of both houses. You can't just go do what the hell you want to do. And that was one of the problems that Obama kept saying. The reason, think about this. One of Obama's biggest points was, I didn't get as much done because I couldn't get as much cooperation. Well, remember this. The Senate
That's
is not getting ready to turn. The Senate is not getting ready to turn red. So if he's going to get legislation through, so now you need to be on the behinds of your legislators. If you really feel this guy is trying to do whatever, that also means you're going to have to be more aware of the issues that are affecting him, as opposed to, man, I want my job. Well, you ain't got a job because the way you look when you went into the place and you ain't doing the things you're supposed to do, that ain't why you ain't got a job. You see what I'm saying? So we ain't talking about that reason you ain't got a job.
With Romney winning, you ain't nobody going to have a job. You ain't going to have nothing.
Yeah,
well,
you know what, that's a
steroid. And that's tomorrow morning on the 7th.
I got to go because I do have to go. But on that note, that's doom and gloom, bro. But I love talk. I want to chop it up. We want to have a love show. We want to have a love kumbaya show, how we can spread love across the country.
Yeah, we
spread no love with Romney. He's out of
here.
We're definitely going to have that show. I want to thank our in-house political analyst, Mark, in Houston, Texas, for joining into our discussion. I would ask and invite
pleasure,
you to come back, because tomorrow is really when you need to come back, because we're going to have several politicians on our show and some community activists talking about our subject matter tomorrow, which is, where are all the black leaders and organizations?
You have good luck with that show, because I'm going to tell you something. That might be a hard show to have, dear. Let me tell you why. Because depending on how the outcome of this election, they're going to want to talk more about what happened last night or tonight. They're going to want to talk about that. Because I don't
that's a part of it.
Ooh,
because
be
where were they?
Right there, baby. Because
you know, where
way,
were
either
they?
Way,
so,
Either way,
it's going to be a great conversation.
Hey, I want to say this real quick before I go. I just want to say that the good thing about it, if Barack gets in office, the question I have for all the people that wanted him to be in is what do you want him to do, and how can you best support him doing that? Just like the opposite of what you just was asking, what do we want him to do?
I want him to do what he's doing. What he's doing, since he's doing it now, do what you're doing. What you're doing, when you're doing it.
But what is he doing?
And
I think a lot of people don't really. Can I tell you something? In all truth,
I ain't speaking for them.
If you go ask most of the people that cast their votes today, what is Obama doing and has done the last 4 years? They're gonna be hard pressed to tell you. They really are. They're gonna be hard pressed to tell you. But so when it comes down to it, meaning our people, a lot of our people clearly voted for him because he was black, and we can keep it real. We can keep it real. That's why we voted for him. The white folks didn't vote for him because he was black. The black folks voted for him because he was black. the majority of us, because I had enough discussions with him to know that when I hear and when I ask him, what has he done? Because even if they say Obamacare, they don't even know what that's built up of. They don't understand about what kind of contingencies are there, what demands they're making on insurance companies. They don't know nothing about none of that stuff. They don't. And they haven't seen any other direct benefits because most of the implementation ain't going to take place to 13, 14. Most of it is 14. So they don't even know what that's about. So my point is, yeah, I ain't got a problem with us voting for him just because he was black, because that just tells me the majority of people we voted for, we didn't know what the hell they were doing either. We, most black folks since 62, since 60 actually, because we used to be Republicans, almost every since 60, we almost all voted Democrat, and most of it straight ticket. So we didn't even know. If he was a Democrat, we voted for him. Republican was red meant devil. Blue meant the sky was the limit. Even though we didn't see the benefits all the time. We went dyed in wool, we backed the Democratic Party. When we did. Every time. So
well,
now
speaking for me, but I know some white people that voted for Obama. I know them personally that voted for him.
And they didn't vote for him because
I know them.
But they didn't vote for him.
Ain't got ain't nothing to do with that. Ain't got nothing to do with color. I know them that voted for him.
Exactly.
For sure.
No, that's my point. And see, that's my whole point. They did not vote for him because of his color, but we did. And as soon as he won, that's what we talked about. We talked about him being black.
He ain't win yet.
Huh?
Look at this nonsense on TV. He ain't win yet.
What?
Okay,
who
well,
yet?
I know.
Well,
I know Mark.
I got to go.
I know Mark has to go because he'll be, and for the listeners who are still listening in, he'll be on Lula Be Live as they are also having an election outcome discussion.
Also,
so you can follow Mark over the Lula Be.
Well, also, I just want to say this, Mark, if y'all get a chance, I got a lot of things, I think about a lot of things. If y'all go on YouTube and put the word Mark Said It, one word in, you'll find out. I also have a blog, it's called marksaidit.blogspot.com, and also on Facebook, you can find me at Mark Said It, if you put that Facebook / Mark Said It, and Twitter at Mark Said It. So that's, y'all go check me out. Y'all can hear some more of my ramblings if y'all like. You know what I'm saying? And you want to challenge me, leave me emails, messages. It's mark1@gmail.com. So there you go. See you later, Bree.
Well, Mark, we want to thank you again for participating in our conversation. And I wish you peace and blessings. And give
thank
my
you.
Best to Lula B.
I surely will.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Good night. Well, we are going to end our discussion by saying that, you know, it was important for everyone to vote, regardless of which party you were voting for. Each party believes that there is importance for who they believed in. And in just expanding on what Dwan has said, what Mark has said, and what our brother Alvin passionately has shared with us, that there is great importance in us participating in the process. But we have to do it at the grassroots spot. We have to do it from the perspective of reaching out to our local leaders and lobbying for the things that are important to us. So I want to thank my guest panelists and co-host Dwan, and my brother at arms, Alvin. And to all the listeners, thank you so much for supporting Bree Life Radio. I ask that you both, that you all tune in tomorrow as we're going to have the discussion, where are all the black leaders and organizations. We're going to have a host of political leaders and both in our community here in Brooklyn and New York State, and we're also going to have some representatives from Illinois and California, Florida, and Massachusetts calling it. So it should be a very interesting conversation. We're also going to have some local community activists and some individuals who are members of some well-known black organizations such as the NAACP and the National Council of Negro Women. And I'm looking forward to participating in that discussion. So I wish you all peace and blessings, and I love you all on purpose. Take care and good night.
Good night.